I think there was a promise of a short service on Christmas Day morning. So we're planning on Christmas morning, 10 o'clock. We'll be starting the service, so that'll be an hour less doing whatever it is that you do on a Sunday morning, on Christmas Day morning. One other thing that has... The whole little country seemingly is going into an 8 p.m. curfew. Is it on Boxing Day or the day after Boxing Day? So any evening services will be kicked back to 6 o'clock.
Which I forgot to change on.
That's okay. So from this Sunday, what day is today?
A week from today.
A week from today, my goodness. The evening service will be at 6 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. So just wanted to let you know, where there's a will, there's a way. If you need to defer a meal or you need to eat a meal earlier, I can guarantee you that the Lord will make sure your digestive system is okay. You'll be fine. Right, to that end, let's begin. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing a song or two. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your many helps and blessings, and I pray your good hand upon us this morning. Pray also for Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor, Brother Bissett, Brother Fox, Brother Hayne, Brother Asquith, just Brother Seeley. Pray for these and many other men, Lord, that stand up to be counted, to preach the gospel, and Lord, that you would bless the preachers and the hearers of it both. Pray you too, Father, for those that are suffering with this flu virus at the moment, and pray you, Lord, that you would save lives. But take this as a time, Lord, I pray again, to speak to souls about the things that they fill their lives with and how empty they are without them. And Lord, make them mindful that only you can fill that gap for real. Please bless our time together. Please look after the folks on the Maboy Road. I think especially, Lord, on Stephen and Anne Marie and her father, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and for Joan, Lord, for Henry and Evelyn, for Sally, for Kate, for Alan Leslie especially, for Pearl Hetherington too, for Georgina and Maslin Fleckner. Lord, just leave these souls and the many others that we would love to have with us, and I think especially on Esther and Pat and Steve this morning, for Carol and John and Stephen. We just pray for them all, Lord, that souls everywhere would be fired up, especially in these dark days, and draw closer to you. Bless our time together, Father, and be one of our number, we pray you. Don't be done with us, Lord. We're here to do business with you this morning. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to begin with hymn 245, 245. The old account was settled. We're in the big book. Obviously, at 245, we're in the big book, but here you go.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago. redemption story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago. Long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. The old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus He hath provided for you. Years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. For the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago.
Put the big hymn book away and take the wee hymn book out, and I think we're going to be singing number 3, hymn number 3, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. This is one actually that wasn't me that picked it, but I remember in primary school singing this at the front of the whole assembly with a couple of other people, because seemingly I could sing the descant. There was one year I always had a school choir, and I didn't go forward for it. I was sitting in my class, and the next thing I see is the music teacher coming to the classroom and calling me out to sing in the choir. They found me. I learned at an early age. You can run, but you can't hide.
Don't walk your breath anymore.
What happens when your mom is on the staff?
Yeah. She got away with Moida. Indeed. Amen. If we're able, let's start as we sing number 3, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And if you feel like singing the descant, feel free.
God is
seated. Norman, are you good to read for us this morning? Come on ahead then, brother, if you would.
This morning's reading is from the book of Joel, chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children another generation. That which the farmer worm has left has the locust eaten, and that which the locust has left has the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left has the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he had the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste, barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering, the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new vine is dried up, the oil languished. Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. Howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, whose joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourself and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes, ye joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed is rotten under the clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herd of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire that devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame that burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Amen.
I think we're on official Christmas colours today with our bright red prayer list. I was going to say the only way it would have been better if it had been like that, red and green.
I thought of that too late.
Anyway. Please do take one home. Please do remember all of the prayer requests that are on it. Do pray especially for Esther and Pat and Steve and John and Carol and Steve. We would love to have them here with us of a morning, but just not possible right now. So please do pray for them. And as in the words of the song, the Lord be with them till we meet again. Well, I'd like to bring you just a little bit of news. Steve is, I think he's like a full week into his treatment. They're expecting it to be at least another week before it shows any signs of improvement. His granddaughter Louise was in for surgery on her feet. I think her feet went floppy or something after her sepsis. I think the tendons maybe lengthened or something like that. So she was in for a few hours of surgery on Friday. By all accounts it went well, and she will be in a cast now for a week or two until that gets until whatever happens heals up. So please do pray for Samantha, is Steve's daughter, and Louise is Steve's granddaughter. Please do pray for both of them as well at this time. Do continue to pray for each other. Of course, the names of the folks on the road that have already been mentioned. Don't forget to pray. I think sometimes we forget about our missions, outreaches, the Kids for Schools and the Christian Institute and Francis Cosgrave. I think he's in Kenya at the moment, isn't he? So pray for Francis as they seemingly work their way across the world. So they'll not be working their way too far across this part of the world because the car's still sitting up outside our house. But please do pray for them if you would. I pray you're all, I'm not going to say getting into the Christmas spirit, but I trust it's not all about getting stuff. It's nice to get a gift from time to time, but as the Lord said, better to be in a position to be able to give gifts than it is to need to receive gifts. Please do be mindful with everything that's going on that between us all, if anybody ran out of food, I am sure there would be enough to get everybody a Christmas dinner or a few days of food. It's not about getting stuff. The Lord said many times that your purpose in your life is not about gathering stuff. So just don't get your eyes on getting stuff. Keep them on Jesus Christ. Other than that, I'm not going to spend too long going over the rest of the announcements, except to ask if anybody has any private prayer request. If you stick your hand up, I'll put your name down. Well, Ling, and we will pray for that. The Lord knows what it is, Norman. And he'll know the details just between you and him, and we'll just remind him about that. Okay. All right. I think you may put Pat and Steve, Pat and Esther down there too. Okay. I think that's about that. Has anybody got any thanks? Anything they'd like to thank the Lord for?
So thank the week of work.
Final week of work for this year. Yes, Norman? Okay. Okay. Those are the important ones, and I've got mine to give thanks for as well. I was able to reach up and touch the ceiling in my bedroom. Thanks to Ling and Dr. Shang. I couldn't lift my arm above that about 2 weeks ago, but now I'm up there. I can still feel it a wee bit. I can actually reach up and get the toothpaste off the top of the medicine cabinet. And I know it seems very, very little, but a lot of my life has been very little over the past year. I am really appreciating all of the health. And the TENS machine's good as well. After I do my stretching exercises, sometimes I'll just put the TENS machine on my shoulder and down my bicep and switch it on. And one, I was actually, again, nothing, and forgive me for making a lot about this, but it excites me. I was sitting down with my hand on the mouse and the TENS machine, I'd pressed it up too far and my hand jumped like that and knocked the mouse off. But it's working. I'm definitely getting much better, and I tell you, I appreciate everybody's help and prayers in that regard. I think one of the things that's happening to Steve's granddaughter is a result of sepsis, and it seems there's a whole bunch of stuff can go wrong, and it makes it a wee bit more personal whenever you see other people going through those things. So, amen. Right, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll sing another song. Will, would you lead us, please, if you would?
Yes, Father, thank you, Lord. If I can bring the sun out, Lord, and raise our hopes and our
And I joy, Lord, may our apparently joy be the Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation he purchased on Calvary for our sakes, Lord. For the people who came to life tonight or today, Lord, pray for my Roman families, John, Carl, and Stephen, Lord. Pray for them also, convict them of his sins, Lord, and bless them and keep them, Lord, bring them to the house next appointed time. Pray for also Esther, Lord. Pray for also pray for skin condition, for Sarah, her skin condition and basically her leg as well, Lord. And all conditions. Help her, heal her, Lord, and provide for her and bless her also. And keep her safe and well. And we have Stephen Pat, Lord, pray for the diabetes and his leg condition, Lord, pray for also his family, Lord, save them also, Lord, and pray for him and keep him. Pray for Leonard also, bless him and keep him, Lord, and give him a ministry and bless him and keep him safe and well, Lord. Pray for all the every head that's covered, Lord, and each and every hospital that's represented, bless us and keep us, Lord, up for the stay and for the Christmas care, Lord. And guide us and protect us, especially from the COVID-19 virus as well, Lord. And Lord, may us, help people prevent people from getting the virus, Lord, but also help them to save them if they have it, Lord, and stop them from dying, Lord. But use our focus in their lives to put the focus of our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they need to put their life straight, Lord, and be saved forevermore through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, Lord. Pray for us this day, Lord, pray for us as we go through Christmas period. Give wisdom and guidance to our world leaders, Lord, especially Boris Johnson and Donald Trump at this time, Lord. Help them, Lord, and give them wisdom, Lord, especially through the Brexit and through the COVID-19 situation, Lord, and through other situations we may not know of, Lord. Pray for them, Lord, and save their souls and their hot souls also, Lord. Pray for us today, Lord, be with Christy. And pray for Mark, Lord, as he delivers the sermons today and tonight, Lord. Pray for them all, Lord, give them a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and give us the strength, Lord. Guide us and direct us for thy honor, for thy glory, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thanks, Will. All right. Take the black books, and we will be singing a few hymns from this. Hymn number, I think, 33. We're going to begin. Not 33. Which one is it? Oh, 34. Well, we're not doing them in order, but we're going to do them. So we'll do 34. You know what they say about getting the meat and potatoes out of the way before you get to your apple pie and custard. 34, Born to Die. This is a wee bit of a practice. So I was going to say, follow along. Don't worry if you can't get it the first time, but we would like to hear your voice sometime. So number 34. Just an intro.
Christ was born just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading. O'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Exchange for the cross of sin he bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to
books open. I think did we get a request for 36 as well, was it? Pardon? We'll do 36 next. Once in Royal David City. Hymn number 36. And we'll stand for this one. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to be taking and reading in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, if you would like to take and turn there in Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of the greatest gift. Speaking from Isaiah chapter 9, these verses may not start as very familiar, but the last few verses that we will read should be eminently familiar to anybody that has spent any time in their Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1, and the Word of God says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Amen. Christy, brother, would you pray for us and then we'll continue. Thank you.
We thank you for the day of your goodness, Lord, for salvation this morning, for this portion of your word and that that's upon the preacher's heart this morning. We ask and pray for the touch of heaven, for him especially, Lord, the sorrow that you guide me every thought and word, Lord, clear the decks of his mind and heart, Lord, any worries, burdens, Lord, just the sorrow, Lord, claim your word, we pray. Lord, bless, lift up, we ask for stirring, Lord, as well, Lord, for opening up of ears and hearts, of wisdom amongst us, Lord, this morning, of discernment as well. Lord, just provide these here, Lord, just minister to hearts and minds, Lord, physically here with us, Lord, and those that would listen later in the time as well. Remember those that are downcast, those that are sick and couldn't be here, Lord, we pray a touch for them, Lord, for those that are grieving lost loved ones at this time too, Lord, that you be with them and comfort them, please. Remember Shannon, Lord, remember them as well, mm-hmm. Lord, please. Remember
Patty
at this time too, Lord, that you be with her as well. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you for those names by way of a reminder. Wee Shannon, of course, is the daughter of the man who has looked after the church vehicles for the last number of years. That's Stan's brother-in-law, Sean, and Kathleen McCallion. So please do pray for them. She was in for... I think there was some crazy amount of surgeries that wee girl. Is it 50 surgeries or something like that? And none of them, we're not talking about an ingrown toenail here or a couple of stitches. You're talking about major abdominal surgery. So please do pray for that wee girl and for their family this year. She was born severely disabled and it's probably a miracle that she's lived even to this age. But she's such a cheerful wee thing. Anyway, we're taking for our text verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. These are famous prophetic verses about the Lord Jesus Christ, about who he was. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with justice and judgment from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I know there is a great tendency to concentrate upon the verses that we have for our text in any given service, but it is quite important that you get them in the proper context and have a wee look at the verses that come before and the verses that come afterwards. And these, sadly, are not a great picture of the children of Israel and those that God had blessed back in the day. In fact, God said, even for all of the good things that I have done for you, you don't rejoice in me, you just rejoice in stuff. I think we were even talking about that at the start of the service. All they take joy in is getting stuff. Now, just about a halfway through our little bit of reading, it talks about the people living in darkness and being under a shadow. And this great light that is mentioned here is, of course, the light of Christ that walked with them for about 30 years after thousands of years of prophecy, that walked amongst them and showed them, as in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way to get to God. And that can take such a great burden off a soul. And of course, the fear of death, which you don't have to fear anymore. The Lord will be with you, and the Lord will take you by the hand from here to eternity whenever the time comes. But the verses I want to think upon tonight are this morning, and of course we are we're pretty much in the mouth of Christmas, all bar Christie's service tonight, I hope, and our service on Wednesday evening, and of course on Friday morning. I want to speak about the greatest gift. And it's about a halfway through this one of our texts. It says a child is born, and that happens, but the next bit says a son is given, and that's what really drew my attention to this portion of God's word, that many people, ourselves included, sometimes we don't appreciate when something is given to us for free, because there's no cost, there's no gauge of value, there's no understanding of just the effort that went into providing a gift. And to that, I would like to think somewhat along that lines as we look on through this portion of God's word, and maybe end the service, well, with me having stated a bunch of stuff about Jesus Christ that maybe we should appreciate a bit better. And maybe each one of us, because bear in mind, I've read it once, it was really laid upon my heart, I've read it once, I've read it again as I typed up the notes, and now I get to read it again as I'm speaking to you about it, and I get to talk about it, and they say there's no better way to learn something than to hear it and to see it and to do something with it. So obviously I need it at least four times more than everybody else here, but this is important. I always had a scale of gifts whenever I was little. And I loved to get gifts from my mum and dad, because even though my dad didn't understand where my love of Doctor Who and Captain Kirk came from, he still bought me the occasional science fiction action man or model or something like that. He says, I'll never understand where you got that from, because nobody else, and it started with me and it's moved on up through the Bradfield line with me. But and out into a few other families as well. I keep being blamed for Marky's love of science fiction and computers and stuff like that by Brother Stan, but that's neither here nor there. You used to get gifts and you think, that is just what I was looking for. I will spend hours using it, or in the case of a child, playing with it, building it, doing whatever, and I am going to enjoy it, not just for hours, but for days and weeks and maybe even months and years. That was the best gift to get. The next one was a gift of clothing that you could definitely use, like in my case, another jumper back in the day, and of course your two or three pairs of underwear, socks, new pajamas and all that there. All the stuff that your mum knew that you needed and that you got, and you thought, you know what, I can use it. I'm not awfully happy about it. I wouldn't have minded another one of gift number one, but I'm happy with it. And then you'd get the gifts from the distant relations that appeared maybe on Boxing Day that you saw three or four times in the year. and you got what you call old man's gifts, you know, like socks and ties and things like that. Things that you what am I going to do with this? But you got practiced early, putting a smile on your face and saying, "Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much." I can tell, obviously, a few other people have, whether they knew it or not, a sliding scale of gift appreciation in their heads. As I got older, I got maybe a more philosophical view of gifts, and I was very thankful to get any of them, and all of them, and I appreciate them all very much. Sadly, I think for many people in the world, for most of the people in the world, they have got this son has been given, but never looked at, never used, never appreciated the totality of what he can do for us, never explored, in other words, an unopened gift. I want to have a look at a few of the statements that are mentioned, not in all the other verses, but just in verses 6 and 7, and I hope it'll be a wee bit of a help to you. First of all, it says a child is born. And that's one thing that our God did that no other God has ever done or can claim to do, and that is be born into a mortal body. He was incarnated in the flesh. In a virgin's womb, it says, and you only have to go to Isaiah 14 for that, and it'll, or Isaiah 7, I think it is, for that, and it'll tell you. Isaiah 7, verse 14. The Lord shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. A child is born. In other words, God would be born in the flesh. He would live amongst his people, the Jews, because he is the God of the Jewish people, of the children of Israel. He would grow up as a Jewish man. He was born. But not only was he wasn't just any child that was born, he was the Son of God given to us. He was going to make a difference. And this was the very Son of God. This was the second person of the Godhead, the Word of God made flesh. This was something new, because I am certain for his presence was always being experienced by people. He was never not conscious or anything like that, or aware of whom he was. But he was very much dependent upon his mom and dad. And we know, as we read through Matthew and Luke, the lengths to which God had to go to preserve even his unborn life. A woman expecting a baby and well on, all of a sudden she has to travel for miles in the back of a donkey to go for a census. Surely that would be enough to cause somebody to miscarry and to lose a child. But God made sure that little donkey must have had four-wheel suspension, and he was able to negotiate all of those miles and carry his load safely there. Of course, I think even back in the day, clean sheets and hot water were probably the order of a day. But where did Jesus end up being born? But in a manger. In a filthy, like, you wouldn't go out there to eat your dinner, let alone have a baby, one of the most vulnerable members of our society. And yet and all, there the Lord was born. And of course, we know that it was only less than 2 years later, whenever there was the third attempt on his life by Herod, as he tried to kill this pretender to his throne, when he insisted on all of the children of 2 years old and under being put to the sword, in accordance with another scripture where it talks about Rahab weeping for her children that were and are not. This son was given to us. Now, I know God has blessed people from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible with one thing and another. But the one different thing that he blessed us with was himself. He didn't just say, oh, here's a gold bar, that'll sort you out for the rest of your life, or here's a house, that'll keep the weather and the elements off you and the wild animals away from you. He actually gave himself. This man that he was born into, this second person of the Godhead that was never parted from his Father or the Holy Spirit, always in perfect harmony and communion and companionship, was given to us. He became ours. God Almighty was delivered into our hands for us to do with as we pleased. And of course, what did we as a creature do just 33 years later but scream out about how he was cramping our style and making us look bad and demand that he be put to death for no reason? And we did. Not us, but we as a creature. The Jewish people, even when they said, when Pilate said, My hands are clean of his blood, this is on you. And what did they say? His blood be upon us and upon our children. And they didn't even know. Goodness. He lived with us. He grew up with us, even from before he could even speak. The angels sang his praise when the shepherds came, and they said the angels were singing in the hills. This is why we're here. They told us to come here. He grew up with us, and even as a young man, he was found, he was found in the temple reasoning and disputing with the scribes and the Pharisees in his father's house. And that wasn't the workshop with the saws and the sandpaper. That was in the synagogue. He worked with us as a carpenter. He showed his work, and then he put down those tools and he took up the word of God. And he preached. And he taught. And he demonstrated his power time and time and time again. He called the fish up out of the water. One fish in particular he told to go and find a penny to pay his taxes and hop on a hook for Peter. He controlled the weather. He commanded the wind and the waves. Even the very demons of hell had to bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and obey him without question. He called the dead back to life. He reconstituted Lazarus's body even as it was fallen to the power of nature and starting to decay away to dissemble itself. Jesus called it all back to life. Jairus' daughter, the widow woman's son, time and time again, people brought back to life. And then, of course, he gave not just his time with us, or his words with us, or his glory with us. He gave his life for us on the cross at Calvary for no reason. In Isaiah 53, not too far away from where we are, the Word of God says that Jesus was like a lamb before her shearers dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And at any time during the illegal arrest and the stacked illegal fixed court, he could have said, look, these witnesses you call, their counts don't match up. By your law, I am free. You have arrested me illegally. There's not even a full quorum or council here. I am free at any time. He could have walked away. But that's not what he came to do. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and then he did the one thing that no other religious leader ever did. No pope, no leader in the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church, the Islamic Church. Do you not think if Allah was as powerful as Jesus Christ and could come into this world and come back from the dead, he would have done it? Do you not think Joseph Smith would have come back from the dead if he could have done it? Or Ellen G. White? Do you think they would have come back from the dead if they could have done it? But to show that Bible believe in Christianity, and just Bible believe in Christianity, is the way, the truth, and the life. to show that all of the things that he had said and done were from God. He did the one thing that no religious leader could ever do. And he raised himself from the dead. Not for him. That was for us. To show that even when dead, there is a life beyond this. A real life. A life when even this beautiful sunshine that we see will seem like the darkest of shadows whenever we stand in the presence of the light of God Almighty. To show us that with all our aches and pains, we still enjoy a cup of tea or a cup of coffee of a morning. We still enjoy a nice meal in the company of friends and family. We still enjoy accomplishing and completing and creating even with our own hands and doing. But all of those are only pale shadows of the joy and the purpose and the work even that we will get to do in heaven and here on earth for 1,000 years. And then he came back from the dead, showed himself to over 500 people, many of which were alive whenever, I think it was Luke was writing about them. Even Paul, the apostle, would have known about this Jesus. And then he went up into heaven alive in a cloud. And the thing about it is, for anyone that stands up today and say, oh, I'm Jesus, and say, there's my birth certificate, and you say, they're a pretender. Because the angels said that he would be back the same way that he would be back the same way that he went. He's going to come back in the clouds, and that's a whole different series of messages. But he went up to heaven. And you would think after 33 years of dealing with people that all of whom, even the smartest, seems like a backwards child, an obstreperous child, you would think he would be saying, well, Dad, I did that job and I am hammered. I'm going to put my feet up for the next 2,000 years until I'm due to come back. They would wear you out. And he says, I know, son, but I've got another job for you. Every single one of them, they still need you. All those that have chosen to follow you still need you. You are going to have to, here he comes. See that smell? The devil walking up into the throne room of heaven and pointing the finger at you and me whenever we give in to temptation, when we say something or do something that we shouldn't or be somewhere that we shouldn't. And the devil, the first thing that he does is a way up to the throne room of heaven and he says, Heavenly Father, Mark did, Mark said, Mark was, he should be punished. And this son that was given to us says, Father, remember, I paid for that on the cross. And he's not just doing it for me, although I'm sure I could keep him busy. He's doing it for each one of us. And you might think, well, the Holy Spirit has a pretty good deal. He only has to deal with a very small fraction of the people in this world. He's only the indwelling friend that sticketh closer than a brother for all those that have loved him and trusted him. But how do you think lost people feel bad whenever you talk to them about the Lord? That's you and the Holy Spirit. And he goes over and taps people on the shoulder and he says, you think about that. And whenever you leave them, the Holy Spirit puts their arm around them and says, he had a very good point. You know, all of the things that the Lord has done for Norman, he'll do for you. All of the things that he's done for Christy, he'll do for you, for Will, for Frank, for Ling, for Monica, for me, for Stan, for every living soul that has trusted in him as Saviour. If he's done it for them, he'll do it for you. You would think that whenever the Lord came back that it'd be done. He gets to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem, and that's where the rest of these verses, and we'll scoot through them very quickly, come to the fore. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder, and that has never happened in the whole history of man. This Son of God is going to rule the world. It's going to happen in at least 7 years' time, the Word of God says. There's going to be coming back of the Lord in the air for all of his children. That's the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 15. Have a wee look at it. The Lord can't judge the world until all those that are free, whose sins have been paid for, are gone, and so the Holy Spirit is removed. The Lord is coming back. At least 7 years' time. And then it's going to be us and him ruling the world for 1,000 years. And we're not going to go into that. But that is what the Word of God is talking about. And his name, I love his name, is wonderful. What better gift could be given to any man, woman, or child than this? What more could God do for us? For by even salvation, after salvation, what more could God do? He paid for all our sins. He's prepared us a home in heaven. He's got glorified bodies just waiting to be loaded up with our sinless natures. He allowed us to escape judgment, which we are all very due for. He's given us a new purpose, a new family, a new home, a new life, a new direction. He's also called counselor. If you want some advice, do you want some direction, ask God. What does there's a great little verse of scriptures that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. I think that's in Psalms somewhere. Proverbs? Psalms? I think it is. Excellent verses. And this is not just do you ever come across a friend and you say, if you ever need me, give me a ring, and you're secretly hoping, I hope they never ring me. You ever come across people like, oh, please, Lord, don't let them ring me. I want to look like a stand-up guy, but I hope they never ring me. Whenever I say that, I mean it, so take me at my word. But God means it too. These are promises to you. If you need him, ring him. Get down on your hands and knees, or even sit and just call out to God, and he will point you in the right direction. It might not be the comfortable direction, and it might not be the cheap direction, and it might be sore in the heart, and you might end up lighter a few friends or acquaintances when you're done, but it's the right thing to do, the right direction to go. He'll show you how to negotiate this anti-Christian world and come out the other side, loving God and being a great example of what Jesus came to do. He's also called the Mighty God. There's nothing he can't do. And people might say, well, if he's so great, why does he not stop people from drinking and driving? Well, the simple fact of the matter is that he is so great, he's given each one of us free will. But I don't know about you, if someone started driving up the left-hand side of the road the wrong way, you're going to have chaos. And God has given us directions and he's given us rules so that all of our free will can be directed appropriately. But some people just want to drive the wrong way up the road and chaos ensues. God can do anything and is soon going to do everything he promised to do. He is going to make peace. Does it not say he is also the Prince of Peace? He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We have the Father and the Son, and we mentioned the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that is hated by so many, but each part of which has a huge part, a third part, in the saving of our souls and the keeping of our heads screwed on properly. Does anyone remember the song that the angels sang, praising God, whenever the shepherds were there? They said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill between men. It says, towards men, from God to men. God, Jesus even said, look, I'm not here to bring peace between people. I am here to bring peace between God and man. Because you might fall out with someone. You might get a black eye or a bloody nose or a busted lip from someone, and it could be all forgotten about. But we owe God a great deal. We owe him a humongous debt. Because all of the things that we have said and done that break all of his laws have never been paid for. Never. They are still outstanding until you are saved. Until you ask God to be your Saviour. And then you will have peace with God, because up until then you are a stranger. You are, in some cases, even an enemy of God. And yet he loves you. And he calls you. And he reaches out to you, perfectly prepared to forgive you. He came to bring peace between God and man. And when men are at peace with God, they will be at peace with each other. And it's all through Christ. As we have a little look on, we see another great promise of the increase of his kingdom. There will be no end. That is Revelation chapter 20 right there. That is the 1,000 years between the world being given over to the devil for 7 years and nearly pressing the button and killing every single living soul in the face of the earth. And remember that it says if the Lord didn't come back, there'd be no flesh saved. And we're not talking about a spiritual salvation. We're talking about an actual physical salvation. God is going to run the show for 1,000 years. It says so. Upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. And it's going to be all him. The government will be upon his shoulder. He's not going to need judges or a Supreme Court or a Senate or a House or the Houses of Parliament or the European Union. He is not going to need that to run the world. He will run it. And we will do what he asks us to do. And every single thing will be a joy for us to do. It makes a difference when your body never gets cold or old or tired and never suffers an ache or a pain and is completely indestructible. And that's what each one of us will have. When he says, Mark, would you mind going into Derry there and clearing all the debris of all of those buildings? He says, surely, God. I've got the power to do it because I'm saved and walking with you, and you're lifting up tons of concrete and doing this, that and the other. That'll be great. I'll be thinking I'll be living a Superman comic with me as the star. But that God has wonderful promises for us. The things that you love, the things that thrill you most, God has something that's so much better for you, because eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. It's worth remembering. He's going to run it all. It's not going to be good for a lot of people, because it says it's going to be established with judgment and justice. There's going to be a lot of people walking the streets today that will be executed on the spot. Whether the ground opens up, whether they are super divinely transported to the great white throne of judgment or to hell to wait. For the Christian, it will be wonderful. For the person that hates Christ, it will be terrible. And the great thing about all of this is, it is going to happen. Even the most outright Christ rejecter, no matter how much time and energy that they put into trying to thwart or go against God's plans, all that they do is make themselves an entry at the judgment seat of Christ. All that they do with all of their time, with all of their schemes, with all of their money, with all of their friends, is book themselves a queue, a place in the queue at the great white throne of judgment. And I wouldn't want that for anybody, even the most wicked of people in this world. You might not be able to look at them, but you certainly wouldn't wish them in hell. Friends, God loves us. And he has his Son, not just for those that are lost, but for those that want another touch, for those that need a bit of comfort, for those that need lifted up onto their feet, pointed in the right direction, for those that need lifted by their ear and pointed in a different direction. God gave us his Son for that. He loves you to bits, and he gave us all so that you could get to heaven. All a soul has to do, as you know, is tell him they're sorry, admit that they're wrong and he's right, and it's a done deal. Saved for free, forever and for sure. Some people might say, well, but I still don't end up with anything in my hands. But the Bible says everything becomes new. You get a kick out of everything again. Everything. Even those old things that you have lying around, the Bible says all things become new. And that's all things. Not just some things, all things. I am telling you, friends, I have got over the years, 55 years and 4 months in this world, 4 days ago, I have received a lot of great gifts in the years of my life. Gifts that have entertained me for hours, gifts that I have used for years. I am going to tell you now, there has been none greater, more useful, more satisfying than having Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you, and God bless you. Right, let's take our little black books and we will close with, I think it's number 33, isn't it? Number 33. Long time ago in Bethlehem, often heard but very rarely sung in the church. You'll know the tune whenever we sing it, because I was so lazy for many years I would hit 3 ones and 55 verses just to have some music going, but amen. If you're able, let's stand as we sing Long Time Ago in Bethlehem.
Find no place to bear her child, not a single
good time and attention. God bless you, and I pray you a safe journey home, and look forward to seeing you again this evening and Wednesday and Friday and the following Sunday. But in the meantime, let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time around your word. Please bless it to us as we go to our homes. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son. And I pray you, Lord, please, that in these dark days, that your light would indeed shine upon a lost soul's heart and mind, that you would save them. That it would shine upon a directionless Christian, Lord, and draw them back to the foot of the cross. Lord, you know our needs. Please work in each one of our hearts and minds, and the hearts and minds of those that are absent from us today. Please save souls and edify the saints. And Lord, I pray for private prayer requests and petitions, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you, Lord, and ask everything in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit, or tap shoulders and bump fists and all that good stuff.